Would you please join me in a word of prayer? Almighty and everlasting God, on this Trinity Sunday, we humbly express our thanks that you have given to us, your servants, a great outpouring of your mercy, grace, and love. On this special Sunday, we acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity. Please keep us steadfast in our faith and worship, and bring us at last to see you in your one and eternal glory, O Father, who forever and ever lives with the Son and with the Holy Spirit, one God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Amen. Life often challenges us by requiring us to make a myriad of daily choices. A famous study of human decision-making has revealed that for every decision a human being makes, we base those choices on two main components. First, the facts surrounding the choice. And second, our feelings about those facts. Thus, every choice we make involves both facts and our feelings. It's sometimes difficult to sort out which should become the dominating factor in our decision-making. Please allow me to illustrate my point. 63 years ago, back in 1962, a friend of mine turned 16 years old. His wealthy aunt offered to buy him any car that cost less than $3,000. Now remember, this is 1962, when a new, fully loaded, top-of-the-line Chevrolet Impala cost $2,800, a significant amount of money. You see, a majority of average U.S. citizens only made less than $6,000 for an entire year. My friend had long dreamed about and desperately wanted a genuine British sports car. He particularly liked the MG series from the British Motor Company. He contacted the nearest MG dealer, which happened to be 360 miles away to the east in New York City. Because the British Motor Company had just released the newer model MGB, the dealer had a trade-in 1959 MGA that my friend could buy for just a bit less than $2,500. The dealer warned my friend that any parts needed to maintain the MGA would have to come by boat from the United Kingdom. Thus, it would take 4 to 7 months to obtain parts. The dealer also told my friend that the MGA had often displayed some difficult to diagnose and difficult to repair electrical problems. Nevertheless, in spite of those facts, my friend's feelings about the facts prevailed. Within a few weeks, he drove up to my house in the magnificent MGA sports car. It was indeed quite a machine. After just 2 months, my friend's MGA stopped dead in the countryside. No local mechanic would even touch this car because it used metric threaded parts, and no local car repair shop had the proper metric tools. My friend eventually had his car towed the 360 miles back to New York City, where the dealer told him they would have to order and then install a complete new wiring harness. 8 long, painful months later, he finally got his MGA sports car back from New York City. As followers of Jesus, it's important that we understand we will always make our decisions based on facts and based on our feelings about those facts. But whenever we do make a decision, we must make certain that our heart is pointing us in the proper direction. God spoke through the prophet Ezekiel, as recorded in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19, and gave this promise to God's people: I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Having an undivided heart is really important. God has surrounded us with the fact of His holiness. We need to carefully examine our feelings about the fact of God's holiness. Scripture affirms that God wants us to love Him with all four of our human modalities: emotional, spiritual, intellectual, and physical. Or, as John Mark wrote in his gospel, Mark chapter 9, verse 30, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Yes, with all four of our human modalities, our hearts, our souls, our minds, and our strength. In addition to loving Him, God wants us to have a singular purpose in our lives, namely to serve Him with the complete devotion of all four of our human modalities. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, the Apostle Paul states, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Here we have an exact picture of the way in which God intends those He has called to Himself to live out their lives. Even as God surrounds us with the fact of His holiness, in our feelings about the fact of His holiness, He wants us to receive and then to display and glorify the very essence of the holiness of the triune God. On this Trinity Sunday, as we consider God's desire for us, we must acknowledge that we humans simply do not fully understand this great truth of one God in three persons. Oh, we may quite easily acknowledge the three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We understand that each person of the Trinity has a distinct nature, a distinct responsibility, and provides for us, God's chosen ones, in a distinct way. However, when it comes to our ability to comprehend that these three persons of the Trinity are also simultaneously and instantly a single holy God with one mind and one purpose, our poor human abilities fail us. And this is no surprise. How can we, the human creation of the Creator Triune God, possibly ever fully understand the true essence of the Creator Triune God who has brought us and everything else into being? In attempting to comprehend the totality of the God who loves us, and who surrounds us with the fact of His divine holiness, as we consider our feelings about the fact of God's holiness, we must acknowledge that through God's written word, the Bible, through God's living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the indwelling Holy Spirit, God has revealed Himself to us in the most winsome way for us to begin to comprehend Him, and to begin to learn to love Him back. And the central quality of His being that God has revealed to us is the fact of His holiness. God, you see, is the very essence of the word holy. In fact, God's holiness is not merely one of His qualities. Holiness is the very center of who God is. Everything else we may learn about God moves outward from the very core of His existence. And at that very core of God's being is the fact of His holiness. If we, followers of God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ and by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, intend to focus all four of our human modalities on the divine purpose of becoming more and more like Jesus, we must accept the fact of God's holiness. And our feelings about the fact of God's holiness must bring us to the understanding that God's holiness sets him and what he chooses to do apart from all distractions. This is how God intends for those of us who follow Jesus to live. We simply cannot retain our natural human loyalty and natural human devotion to a sin-filled culture and a sin-filled way of life that is antithetical to the principles of faith in a holy and loving triune God. In John chapter 17, verses 14 through 19, Jesus prayed about this very matter of imbuing God's holiness into those of us who belong to him. Jesus speaks to his Father regarding his disciples, including you and me. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Here, Jesus clearly asks the Father to sanctify or make holy those who follow him. Jesus does this because God is holy, and the people whom he has chosen to belong to himself must adopt for themselves his holiness as a part of their own identity. This process of sanctification requires God's followers to surrender their diverse and selfish human wills to the divine and perfect will of the Holy Triune God, even as God's will is demonstrated by the Lord Jesus Christ and revealed to them through the resurrection power provided by the Holy Spirit. This adoption of God's holiness represents the fact of the fundamental and transformational change that must take place in the lives of all believers. Thus, our feelings about this fact confirms for us the pathway that God has opened up before us. The Apostle Paul, writing our lectionary scripture text for today, found in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, declares, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us." You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. God's holiness imbued within us gives us a measuring stick, a standard by which we can measure every decision that we make. Considering this, we might ask, since we are surrounded by the fact of God's holiness, what reasonable process must you and I follow to allow God to imbue us with his holiness? Today, I wish to offer us three steps that I hope will help us acknowledge the fact of God's holiness and also guide us to develop proper feelings about the fact of God's holiness, thus ultimately leading us in the right direction, a direction that will focus all four of our human modalities in order to enhance both our personal and our corporate Christian spiritual formation. First, let's begin by acknowledging that if we rely solely on our own strength and our own abilities at the natural core of our being, each one of us is destined to failure. Sadly, each of our four human modalities is pre-wired by the sin nature we inherited from Adam to point us away from obedience to God and away from the transformational receiving of his holiness. If we purpose to rely solely on our own abilities, we will utterly fail in our quest to become more and more like our Savior. For becoming more like Jesus means that the holiness that resides in the core of God's being will come to reside in the core of our beings as well. Second, since on our own we are prone to fail, we must accept that for this very reason, God has chosen to give us a partner, a companion, a counselor, to lead us and guide all four of our human modalities ever closer to the reality of receiving God's holiness and placing that holiness into the very core of our lives. Third, once we acknowledge that in our own strength we are doomed to fail, and once we accept with joy the fact that God has given us a companion in the Holy Spirit to guide us to do what we cannot do on our own, we then must focus our efforts to obediently follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. How do we discover what it means to become obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit? God uses our devotion to himself through our daily Bible reading, our daily prayer, and our daily looking for and following the leading of the Holy Spirit to prompt within us our feelings about God's holiness and thus allow the fact of God's holiness to intercept and connect with all four modalities. As we allow God to do this within us, we will find ourselves constantly examining how Jesus might respond to every decision we must make each day. Holiness is not some goal that always lies just out of our reach. No, not at all. Infusing God's holiness into the core of our beings is what Christian spiritual formation is all about. Striving to become more and more like Jesus requires us to purposely set aside any fleshly, secular human desire that may tilt our four human modalities away from God. Instead, God wants us to focus our attention on allowing our companion, the Holy Spirit, to gently and lovingly point us toward holiness in our own sin-cursed human lives. Is this an impossible task? Of course not. We must always remember that our relationship with God begins with the fact that God loves us exactly as we are. The Apostle Paul clearly celebrates this in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If we accept the fact that God loves us for who we are, then our feelings about that fact must prompt us to accept ourselves for who we are. But at the same time, we must learn through the reading of Scripture, through prayer, and through giving our attention to the leading of the Holy Spirit to avoid any excuse we might give for our behavior that is driven by the sin nature we have inherited from first man Adam. Accepting who we are gives us a beginning point from which we can start our forward spiritual quest toward receiving God's holiness by allowing the Holy Spirit to point each of our four human modalities toward emulating the behavior of Jesus. Why does the fact of God's holiness play such an important role in our personal Christian spiritual formation? The answer is because when God's holiness imbued within us becomes rooted at the core of our four human modalities, that holiness becomes the standard by which we measure all of our human activity and by which we measure the obedience of our four human modalities to God's perfect will for our lives. That is, as we truly become united with Christ. The Apostle John wrote these words in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 13. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Holy Spirit. God has given us the very nature of his holiness through the Holy Spirit. Following the leading of the Holy Spirit unites us with Jesus. This effort has enormous benefit for us personally. At the same time, it also has significant benefit for us as believers gathered together in this place. The ability of our gathering of believers here at Redeemer Presbyterian Church to become vital ambassadors of the great King Jesus is fueled to the maximum when we covenant together to focus our daily lives on putting into practice God's holiness. Then and only then can we serve God together as he desires us to serve. That's why we see the holiness of God at the very core of who God is. All of God's other wonderful qualities proceed outward from his holiness. And that is exactly how God wants us to live as well. God's holiness within us will produce every good and perfect gift that will enable us to serve him fully. The fact that we are surrounded by the holiness of God must permeate our existence. Then our feelings about the fact of the holiness of God must promote us toward complete obedience to his perfect will for our lives. When we accept this, the allure of the sin-cursed world will more and more begin to fade away from us. The secular pleasures that our society so eagerly seeks will more and more pale when measured against the fact of God's holiness within us. When we bow before God in worship, when we bend our selfish human wills to the divine and perfect will of the Holy Spirit so that he may infuse us with that holiness of God, we will begin to experience victory over the tight hold that sin has on each of us. Let me state once again the three steps I'm suggesting we take. First, if we rely solely on our own strength and our own abilities at our core, each one of us is destined to failure. Second, because on our own we will fail, God has chosen to give us a partner, the Holy Spirit, to lead us and guide all four of our human modalities ever closer to receiving God's holiness into the core of our lives. Third, we then must focus our efforts so that we will obediently follow the leading of the Holy Spirit to promote our devotion to the reading, studying, and meditating on God's written word, our devotion to prayer, and our devotion to following the facts we learn and the feelings about those facts that God promotes within us, so that every decision we make will become empowered by God's holiness. In summary, what I'm attempting to share with us today, followers of Jesus must learn to measure what they think, what they say, and what they do against the standard of God's holiness. Again, followers of Jesus must learn to measure what they think, what they say, and what they do against the standard of God's holiness. Let's remember that as far as we may have come in our walk with God, we always have much further to go. The triune God waits patiently for us to understand more and more about who He wants us to be. Let's continue to encourage one another. Let's look with His eyes of love on the needy world around us. And let's be truly devoted to receiving God's holiness in the core of our beings so that we can become devoted to one another in love. Today, as we go from this place of worship on this blessed Trinity Sunday, let us remain fully aware that the great mystery of our God is that He exists as one holy God in three persons. Let us cling to the reality that in His holiness, God has perfected the standard against which all human activity can be measured. And through our partner, the Holy Spirit, we can properly understand both the fact of God's holiness and our feelings about the fact of God's holiness as we make the countless number of decisions we face every day. Yes, dear ones, in every decision that we make, we must consider the facts, and we must also consider our feelings about those facts. What will we choose to do? We can experience the ever-forward movement of our very own personal Christian spiritual formation, and also the ever-forward movement of our corporate Christian spiritual formation, as the Holy Spirit imbues God's holiness into the fabric of our beings, and as He leads us moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, to becoming more and more like Jesus. Amen.